Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 68 of the Flight Test Podcast. Today, we talk with Nerd Nick, who has a ton of content on the forum and flighttest.com. And we didn't realize this until we talked to him, but he's only been kind of playing with Dollar Tree Foam Board for about a year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And he's got a ton of good articles on his own designs of different planes, as well as free build plans as well. So be sure to check those out.
Yeah, so those of you playing with Dollar Tree Foam Board and kind of want to take what you're doing to the next level, or want to tweak some plans, or if you want to start creating your own, Nick actually has a what is currently a 6-part series. It looks like he's planning on expanding that in the future. But the part one is how to select a good reference image. Part two is about using line tools and layers and designing the fuselage and horizontal and vertical stabilizers. Part three is designing your wing. Part four is fuselage formers and control services. Part five is joining the tail feathers, poster board, miscellaneous details. Part six is getting your plans print ready. And part seven is coming soon. It says it's going to be on build tips, etc. We know that a lot of people just want to fly and just want to get something in the air and aren't really interested in the build portion, but there are some people that are really enthusiastic about the building and the design.
Yeah, and if you're one of those people who mainly just fly like plug-and-flies or stuff from the big manufacturers and you've been considering scratch building, definitely check out Nerd Nick. It's pretty amazing and humbling how far you can get in just a year's time when you dive straight in. And actually, this was not only Nick's first experience with building, but just his first experience in the hobby as well. He started scratch building from the start, and to see how far he's come in just a year is pretty humbling. So if you've been considering scratch building, definitely check out his planes and his build plans and even build videos that he has, because it's pretty amazing how fast you can really exceed in scratch building.
Yep, definitely. Before we get an interview, I also want to remind people about Flight Fest. Flight Fest registration is open for pilots and for spectators, vendors, and sponsors. So if you have any interest in coming to the event, we want to encourage people to pre-register so we can get as accurate of a headcount as possible. Also, I wanted to give a quick plug for volunteers. Fred Provost / Flying Monkey did a great job last year with rounding up just a great group of top quality people to facilitate the event.
They did an amazing job.
In a lot of ways, Flight Fest is kind of volunteer run. There's some fun things that the volunteers will be doing, and there'll be kind of a special camping area for the volunteers. If you have any interest in helping with the event, even if it's in a small way, you can go to flightfest.com. That's flightfest with an F. And if you hover over the FAQ tab, there's a link there that says volunteer. Again, that's flightfest.com/volunteer. There's a little form there to enter your name, your email, and kind of what you would be interested in doing with volunteering or what your flexibility is. That form goes to Fred, and if you send that, he'll be in touch. He's handling all the scheduling and last year we had some just absolute workhorses, helping with the event. And there are some people that didn't stop working during the event.
Yeah.
And so we want to try to avoid that this year and kind of share the load in a little bit more organized and even fashion. So, again, if you're interested in volunteering, get in touch with Fred. Cool. Okay, let's hop into the interview here. Nick Lechner, is that how you pronounce it, Nick?
Yep, that's correct.
And you guys would probably recognize him as Nerd Nick on the Flight Test forums and in the Flight Test articles. Nick is a
huge contributor.
Yeah, he's a huge contributor to the site and to the forums. And so this is something I think we want to do more often, which is just highlight some absolute rock star authors that are really doing some cool things out there and contributing to the site in a really positive way. Kind of on the docket today, is we're going to be talking about, as the title of the podcast suggests, some Dollar Tree foam board or flight test foam, as we started to call it. you know, plane designs. And actually, we were recently at an event, NEF, and we saw...
It was pretty amazing how things are turning quick.
Yeah, there was like actually a lot of people selling their own designs from Dollar Tree Foam Board, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think even the model airplane foam guy who has the custom...
Yeah, custom
modeling foam. He was selling Dollar Tree foam as well now.
And ironically, cool. I don't know if you know this, but Dollar Tree Foam Board and that model plane foam were done from the same exact factory.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's basically just the exact same thing, just thicker without paper is what he's using. Wow. So I was talking to Carl about that.
I mean, I think finding you know, flight tests, you guys and your designs originally was the only reason I could even get into the hobby because of how affordable it is. So I've definitely come to love, you know, building and designing with it.
Wow.
Is that how you kind of discovered Dollar Tree Foam Board, was through flight test, or have you been playing with that for a while?
No, that was – so I – about a, just over a year ago, I saw the first flight test video, and I just fell in love. I mean, I've wanted to fly since I was a kid, and it was just too expensive or too much, you know, time investment. And so, you know, seeing you guys build and design with such a cheap, you know, easily available material was really kind of the beginning of thinking, okay, I can do this. I can try this. And at that time, it was just, I want to build a plane. I don't want to design or anything. I didn't think, a year ago, I never thought I'd be sitting here or having designed a handful of planes. So,
well, doing a great job with it, too. It warms my heart to see that you've gravitated just under a year from getting in the hobby to now designing, but also contributing. The fact that you put out your plans in such great articles, it really means a lot.
Yeah, I'm flipping through your I was trying to make sure I heard you right there, that you've only been doing it for a year, but I'm flipping through your flighttest.com/author/nerdnick, and you're right, none of your articles are really more than a year old. That's absolutely outstanding.
Go ahead. Sorry, Nick.
So I'd say the first one that I put out as my own, the Bucker, was I think in July of last year. But I had been kind of playing around with redesigning, you know, your guys' planes and modifying them a bit before that. But that was the first real stab I took at from scratch, you know, from the beginning.
That's
cool. Pretty cool. I think that's a testament to how approachable the hobby is getting, especially when a talented guy like yourself dives right in. It's pretty amazing how fast it escalates, and here you are a year later, you know, 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, that I don't think that it would even be possible, no matter how passionate you might be about it, especially if you're dealing with, like, plug-and-fly planes that cost, you know, $300-$400. You buy that and you experiment with it, and, you know, that's your plane for at least a year. You're not going to be, you know, at least most people aren't going to be investing, you know, $400 every couple months to get a new plane. With this type of techniques and foam, you can really dive in, you know, try some new things, and if it doesn't work, just scrap it, take your electronics, and keep rebuilding. I think it's come a long way very quickly.
That's probably the number one thing I mention it whenever I show up at the field and people say, oh, you built that, that's amazing. And I tell them, yeah, it's super cheap, you know, it costs only a few dollars, and that it's so accessible. But the biggest thing too for me, I think, in the beginning was I wasn't afraid to crash it. And you guys have said that a lot. Like, it took the fear out of, I didn't spend $500 on this plane that I'm going to break in 10 minutes or in 10 seconds. So I was able to, you know, kind of fly a little more daring for my comfort level, and then excel even faster because I didn't have that worry of the financial side, you know, looming above me.
Yep. You got to learn how to embrace the crash.
Yep.
You know, what warms my heart about your designs. I've noticed this, especially going to different events. Back in the 80s and the 90s, when you looked at a lot of the planes, they're very similar to our Dollar Tree designs. You know, you look at the Chaos, the even I was talking to a great gentleman about the Tiger II and a lot of these other key iconic planes, Quickie 500s. They were boxy, they were simple, they were straight lines. And to see people going back and recreating some of those classics, I saw your Chipmunk on there, and it's gorgeous. And it just is really cool because it's pulling a lot of people that have been to the hobby for a long time that maybe can't build with boss anymore, can't deal with the gas. Mm-hmm. And to see some of those classics come back is a really cool thing. But also they're very easy to convert because they are very boxy.
Yeah. Yep. And I picked the Chipmunk, actually. I liked the look, but there wasn't anything about the aircraft really that drew me to it, other than this looked like it would be a good transition, you know, to design that would actually capture the look without, you know, being too much of a square tube or anything. So that was really my inspiration behind that one, is, hey, it looks pretty cool, and I think from a design standpoint, it'll transfer really well. And it ended up being, still to this day, my favorite flyer. It performs absolutely amazing.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what do you primarily use for designing airplanes? I think, do you use SketchUp, right?
No, I actually use Photoshop. It's not at all efficient, mm-hmm. But I have some previous experience just doing design work with it. Mm-hmm. So it was the most natural, let me try this. I'm just starting with a 3-view, and I still use it now. It can be a little tricky with some of the different, you know, adjustments, or if I have to go back and fix something, it's a very manual process. But it's just what I'm used to so far, and seems to work okay.
Mm-hmm. What's a technique that you're using now that maybe people aren't aware of that kind of brings things a lot more approachable? I was looking, like, your canopies look really nice. You're using a lot more foam. And one thing I'm trying to move away from is poster board. It looks like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, so let's, I guess, take a step back. First party question: what am I doing different, or what am I doing that people don't know?
Yeah.
If you sat down and watch, you know, to anyone who is interested in designing the series I went through, I kind of hit all the main points except the post, you know, round one plans process, which is something I'm still kind of working on and going to put out. But the only thing that I think is different about what I'm doing is, I don't know, actually, I don't think maybe there's anything different. I try to do as much as I can on the computer side first, on digital, and then I get my hands dirty. I have to actually see how it goes together, especially with a poster board. I don't know if you guys have an easy way of designing that, but that's almost all manual for me. I build the fuselage or whatever I'm needing the poster board to go on, mm-hmm. and I have to do it manual. I can't. From Photoshop, I can't model that out and have it accurate. So that usually takes a few rounds to shape it and get it right. And the same with the canopies. I usually make like a 2D piece that I can cut out and use as my outline, and then I just start messing with regular printer paper, folding it, forming it, and finding where the cuts are going to go and everything. And then I'll transfer those to digital, and then, you know, go through that round again and keep doing it until it matches up how I want.
Nice. Yeah, Peter, you're really amazing with CAD.
Not that talented either. I still can't 3D model anything yet. I can only do two-dimensional stuff. But yeah, that's our biggest hurdle right now, both Josh and me. What do you use, Josh?
I use CorelDRAW. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I are both still pretty heavy on manual too. There's mm-hmm. certain things you can hit off a 3-view. But when it comes to something like a canopy or a cowling...
Yeah, the geometries are just hard to get right.
So I've seen some of the geometries, like Peter, when he did the water plane with the... Mm-hmm. For our toys... what was it called?
The planes episode.
Yeah,
Fire and Rescue.
Yeah, I mean, those
the
kind
hole
of...
In that was
you
just
sketched it out by hand, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then cut it and then started whittling away. The nice thing is, if you don't glue it completely in, you can pull measurements afterwards mm-hmm. and kind of true it up. But we're kind of blessed now. We have some really great people that are coming in to help us with... communicating complicated shapes and making them repeatable. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes I just start with extra weights too, and I just start whittling down until it fits and then take measurements afterwards.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing too.
That's cool. So what's your favorite as far as style of flying?
Lately it's been just fast. Make something that's fast and performs well. I started, you know, originally my very first flight was with the Spitfire. I crashed horribly. And then I went back to the Delta because I figured it'd be way easier. And then within a week I was flying the Spitfire again and the Duster and flying them fine. From there I stuck with the Spitfire for a while, and then I kind of quickly transitioned to, I want to go faster. So I put a bigger motor on, you know, kind of went through all that trial and error of how heavy can an airframe hold and what wing loading and all that fun stuff. And then I really didn't get into any kind of speed until I shrunk down the FT Spitfire to the 80% size, so about 30-inch wingspan or so. And then I was able to put, you know, you guys had the speed challenge with that NTM 3536 1800 kV.
Yeah.
So I put that in my 800 millimeter Spitfire.
Oh my gosh.
with a 4-cell and a 7.7 prop. So it does about 120.
Oh my gosh.
And that was my kind of first. Mm-hmm. You know, a bump into speed, and ever since then, I've Mm-hmm. I've been trying to, you know, that kind of moved into my wing design and everything, trying to get more, you know, more speed out of the airframe.
It's really amazing how strong that foam can be too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to reinforce it when you get up to that, you know, weight and speed, but it still surprises me, and people don't believe me when I say it's just foam and a little bit of aluminum, to show them, you know, doing 100-mile-an-hour bank turn and the wing doesn't even bend, and they're like, wow, that's amazing, it's better than my plane, and I just kind of chuckle and say, yep.
Have you ever had any catastrophic failures going that fast?
So not since I've kind of refined the you know, reinforcement process, but originally, when I first put a bigger motor on my original FT Spitfire, I went to like 100-gram, 500-watt motor, just on 3S. But I did not. I mean, I remember watching. I don't remember what video it was, Josh, but either you or David mentioned how strong the wing was and how you couldn't break it and everything. So I was convinced that no matter what I put in the plane, you know, I would be fine. It was bulletproof. But I flew it for a couple batteries with this, you know, 500-watt motor, and I did a real steep incline, and the wing just broke right in half. and it wasn't in the middle. So you're right. The wing joint was very strong. It was actually at the side of the fuse wall. So it broke, you know, just a few inches from the centerpiece. And yeah, then it just tumbled down significantly, you know, spectacularly. And I just laughed. I thought it was awesome. And I went to the forums immediately and made a thread saying, guys, how are you making your wing stronger? Everyone must be running into this. And everyone thought I was crazy to think I could break a wing. So I got some, you know, recommendations there to how do you make it stronger. And I ended up actually going with something that hadn't been brought up, was, you know, using flat aluminum and notching it for like an I-beam essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been using ever since. And other than that, you know, making sure your hinge joints are good and making sure your build is square, I haven't reinforced the tail or the rest of the fuselage to maintain the speeds, other than just adding that aluminum to the wing. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Really, yeah, especially for just a single sheet of foam flying through the wind for the tail surfaces. I'm surprised they don't flutter or come apart.
Let me take that back. I do use a barbecue skewer as a spar in the
tail.
In the tail.
That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. I think the Bloody Wonder was the one it's basically just a straight fold over, and I don't think anyone can really crack that very easily. But I'm sure that challenge will be met. But yeah, the seamed wings definitely, it's kind of funny. They kink just outside the fuselage. Mm-hmm. I think David on the speed challenge, that's where his folded too. It was after a couple really crazy banks. But man, it warms my heart to see not only what you're doing as far as, you know, shrinking down the plans, but also you're kind of driving and opening up the hobby. You know, people are like, oh, I get in the foam, but I really like fast. Well, you just answered that problem, and that's really exceptional.
So Nick, what was your most recent design? And can you walk us through a little bit of the process of how you kind of put that together and kind of tweaked it and got it flying how you wanted it to?
Yeah, so this I call all my planes the NN plane, so for, you know, the abbreviation for Nerd Nick.
Sure.
And it was the A-10. I started actually this one last September when I was building my MiG through. And a couple of the guys on the forum were, you know, hey, you should build an A-10. You should really build an A-10. And I was like, oh, I don't have the part. I don't have two EDFs. I don't have, you know, it's too big of an investment for me. And I think it's too challenging. Really was my worry. I can't do it. Like, if I'm going to do something, I want it to succeed. I want it to be good. And I wasn't ready to kind of commit to that. But one of the members, I'll call him out, Jax, actually messaged me privately and said, hey, you know, this is my favorite plane ever. I want you to build it, so I'm gonna buy you the parts so you can build this, because
oh, wow,
this plane cool. is, you know, this is, everyone needs this plane.
And nice.
So he did. He sent me. I got the EDFs. I got everything ready, and I was like, all right, now I have to. Like, I have no excuses now.
Right.
So I started that in September, and it took 5 months between I actually released it, but from the amount of time I spent on the computer just designing it, I put in well over 60 hours of just researching the scale look, like understanding the plane, understanding why are the, 'cause, so all of the attack angles are not neutral. They're all to spec, like to scale, which I wasn't sure if that would actually work at this, you know, shrunk down size. And I couldn't find information about you know, other people that are making these or other ready to flies. I never had one, or I couldn't get my hands on one. You know, do they have neutral, you know, surfaces? Do they, what is the actual thrust angle? What is, you know, none of that information was available. So I had to just figure it out. I had to research. I had to do as much as I could, you know, before I actually had a built plane. And that took a lot of time to go through. So I spent, you know, a couple hours every week or on the weekends, I would spend, you know, half a day just researching and putting things together. And I went through, you know, the first round of plans had like 26 revisions before I even said, this is beta one or version one of, you know, let me build it. And that was partially because I would build something and then it wasn't strong enough or it didn't look right. So I'd, you know, start over. And I actually had some assistance too. So this wasn't all my doing from the build testing. Jay-Z on the forums, or his name is John Zach, has been a huge help with the design process and the testing process. He's offered a lot of input, and I've kind of been working with him on the sidelines, essentially sending him versions saying, hey, try this, build this. What do you think? Does it feel good? Does it look good? Is it strong enough? And he's provided, you know, invaluable feedback in helping to make this plane, you know, kind of come to flight. But I think I know this isn't the answer you're wanting to hear, but you guys describe your happy accidents, and this was definitely one of them. on the article, I don't know if I linked my glide test. If not, I'll go ahead and throw it up. But after I built the frame and I said, okay, I think this is it. Let me test it. I weighted it up. I didn't put the motors in it or the battery or anything. I just nose weighted it with some pennies, and I went and threw it. And I got like 60 feet out of a glide test on first try. And nice. I couldn't believe that it just worked. Like everything just worked. And it was definitely a happy accident. I was very surprised that it handled as well as it did. And then after that, the only thing I really was unsure about was the thrust angle, which I kind of just guessed. I looked at, you know, other planes, the degree, how much the thrust tube tapers. And I said, all right, I'm going to try this and I'm just going to go with it. And if you watch the maiden video, that really is the very first flight of that plane, and it worked. Like it just worked. So I was very surprised, very, very happy that all that paid off. And after that first flight, I made a few more tweaks to the length of the pylon arms. They're a little bit too tall compared to scale, and that changes the thrust angle a little bit more than I wanted. So the flight wasn't level at all, different throttle settings. So I shrunk those arms down a little bit, and then that was basically the only change I had to make after, you know, my first flight to say this is ready.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, well, I don't know if happy accident is the right word for it, considering you estimate you have about 60 hours of computer design into it. So I don't know if accident's the right word, but
this was a first time for me. I'd only flown the Viggen, you know, before this as an EDF, and I had never flown any kind of A-10 or even seen one at the park I fly at. So I was just going off of, you know, pictures, which is, it's hard to know, like, am I doing, is this going to capture, is this going to be right? And I know you guys have probably gone through the exact same thing, thinking, I want to start off, I want it to look cool, I want it to fly good, but how do you get there, right? And that, as much as I researched, it came together, you know, better than I could have hoped.
I think one of the biggest ingredients you identified is a lot of people think, okay, I got to get it to work in my head before I try it. And the best thing you can do is chop up some foam. Don't worry about the final looks. Just find out if the dimensions, the thrust angles, if you're onto something. And before putting, you know, radios and all that time into it, put a little bit of weight in the nose and do a glide test. If it'll glide and it'll glide good, then you know it'll fly. And then it's just a matter of dialing in the thrust angles and any moments that are created from powering it. And
definitely.
You nailed it, man.
I love the A-10. I'm going through there right now. I can't believe this, the amount of work you put into like the vertical stabilizers too, taking the two sheets and sanding them down just to a point and then taping the two together. That takes a lot of work and a lot of skill.
So that the thread has the second. So I built like a basic version and then I'm calling speed versions, which just have a true airfoil on the stabilizers and then a true airfoil on the wing, and it's very thin.
Really, really cool.
The wing itself is only three sheets of foam thick, and it's still incredibly strong. But with that process, it's very labor intensive to make, you know, to physically build the wing because of how much beveling or sanding you have to do. But yeah, you get a really, really nice finish. And then looking at it, you would never think it's Dollar Tree foam after it's done.
That's really impressive, man.
I'm still working on the build video. I'm just going to highlight the changes.
You still there, Nick?
Oh, no.
Nick.
Where'd he go? 27, 25.
Sorry, I think I'm having some internet issues.
Oh, that's okay. We can hear you now.
Can you guys still hear me?
Okay. Here. Yep, we're good to go. Sorry, you were saying something about the build video.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Still working on that. I have, I'm just going to highlight kind of the challenging parts of the build. I've labeled it as kind of an expert level, meaning don't really tackle it unless you're confident that you can kind of weed your way through it, since there's a lot of things that you just need to know, right, to build this one. So, that's still coming.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, and we know how big of an undertaking that is. So the fact that you're doing it at all is is really impressive. So we've done a few build videos to know that they might look easy just because it kind of seems like it's one continuous shot, but in reality, it's a lot of work. So that's much appreciated. Now, obviously, with this build being kind of a difficult to advance build, for somebody that was just looking to check out your design series and throw something on the computer and just kind of start drawing something up, how did you get started, or how would you recommend somebody get started in just mocking something up, throwing some pennies in the nose, and just seeing where it goes?
Yeah, definitely. So I started originally, modifying the FT planes. Whether at the very beginning it was just making, modifications with direct foam, no design work involved really. But I think the easiest transition, or the way at least I kind of went about it, was I started, downloading the PDF plans you guys have and putting them in my image editor, Photoshop, and just playing with them, like redrawing the lines, making changes, printing them out, testing it. And I think that was a safe way to do a design, because I knew as long as I didn't change, the whole wing or change something drastic like the elevator or something, that it would still fly. So I could change the nose shape, or I could change the line of the belly or whatever I wanted, and I didn't have a to worry about it crashing. And so that kind of, takes your baby steps into getting on the digital side and making the plans, making your lines, and then printing them out and trying it. From there, taking a known good design is always a good try or a good first step. Taking something that you've seen or something that you know flies, and instead of making up your own, wingspan and fuse length, and just take something that you know already works in RC form, and try and start with that. Once you get that confidence, once you get that a little experience, then it's really easy to then say, hey, I want to change this. I want to, do a different side, do a swept wing, or do a polyhedral instead of dihedral. Like it's kind of a natural progression. You really just start taking, each thing one step at a time, instead of, trying to jump in all at once. It's probably the for anyone who's looking to start designing, using tutorials, right? Starting with, if you're using SketchUp, there's a great one on articles, or I have the Photoshop one, or don't try to figure it out yourself. I think is a big thing too. Look up all the information you can, do the research, and definitely, learn. You got to have some of those design, skills if you're going to do it on the computer first. But I know people that do it all by hand. Like you can draw it out and do it that way as well. I think baby steps is really the best way to kind of ease into it.
Yeah, that's cool. Just out of curiosity, have you tried experimenting with any other materials other than Dollar Tree foam board, like Depron or anything like that? Have you tried going outside of the realm of, Dollar Tree foam?
I want to. The cost is a little scary though, compared to how cheap Dollar Tree foam is.
Yeah.
But I do have some of the pink, or I guess blue foam now is what's common from like Lowe's, that you can, instead of using poster board, you can shape that and sand it down and make a nice shape there. So I'm going to be playing around with that a little bit.
Yes, I love and that then, stuff. Fan yeah, foam. That's what I've used for years.
It's been around forever, and it's not something that you see a lot in the flight test community. I don't see other people building with it really, but it's really amazing what you can do with it. So I want to mess around with that, and then I'd like to try Depron and you guys mentioned the model foam stuff as well, but it's just cost has been a little discouraging right now as I'm trying to get into it.
Yeah, that's cool. I know Josh, you are looking into experimenting with what's it called?
Coreplast.
Coreplast.
Oh, okay.
Amazing, amazing gentleman. We met at NEF. Really opened my eyes to that material, and gonna hopefully order a pallet of that soon. But they have different thicknesses and different weights. And the 2 mil Coreplast is incredibly strong. It's a little spongier than I like. It doesn't hold the rigid. It's not as rigid. But for something like a Kraken, for something like some of these wings, I think it'd be a really good candidate in a direct crossover and techniques. And oh my gosh, I'm terrible with names. Do you remember that wonderful gentleman's name? I got his card. But he has a whole forum site and does a lot of great stuff. So I'm sure we'll have him on the show in the near future. But he's right here in Cleveland. And Coreplast seems, I'm definitely excited about that. It won't replace my love for a Dollar Tree foam board. But I think it's cool for some applications. If you're going to build a crack and you want the last years, not months. And mm-hmm. same with Peter's awesome guinea pig. You don't.
I might be doing the fuselage out of that and just keep the tail feathers and wing disposable.
Yeah, it's a lot of good options. But the important thing is it's still a common material that's available all around the world. And that's the biggest thing. I don't like the idea of people having to pay $50-$60 for the honor of building their own airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So Peter has been working on designing a new plane for the flight test fleet. I think we're going to call it the FT Punjet.
Cupcake, bat, switchblade. There's a lot of suggestions so out many. There.
Whatever we end up calling it, who knows?
Is that the little the retractable wing?
Plane? Yeah, the little swing wing thing.
Okay.
So, nice. So Peter, what has that process been like, or what's some of the challenges you've come up against with designing that? Because I know you're on revision, what, 10?
Yeah, revision 10. That has been the most challenging thing I've done, actually, since almost my entire career of playing with this. It was harder than the VTOLs. But then again, it's because I had to adapt a new mentality of, like, making these things repeatable and designable. Before, I would just build like, two airplanes. The first one to test the concept, and the second one, which would to be the second prototype and to be the final version. Like the Chimera, if you guys ever seen that episode, or Chimera, whatever the YouTube comment said, yeah. But that was the first, that was the test bed, and that was the final of that design. Because most of them just have to just work right away, or they just don't work at all, and then I abandon them and go on to the new ones.
Yeah, and at that time you were just building, you know, for your personal...
Personal amusement.
Yeah.
Just like the plane in the episode. I mean, it flew all right in the guinea pig episode, but it was anything from something I would give to anyone else to fly. Because I make my living on flying crap, basically. That's all my planes fly. They fly crap. And you hand them. I was like, yeah, it flies great. You hand off to Josh, and it almost crashes.
You can fly anything. It's pretty amazing. And the throws that you fly with is hysterical. But
I'm just so used to not really fine-tuning anything. I just fly around it.
But you know what I appreciate about you, Peter, is that you know that people are going to be flying it. You want to make it as good as possible. And the amount of hours you put into that and the amount of – you probably built at least 20 of those little cupcake punjet things. Yeah, there's been
20 of them built so far. And right now I'm finally happy with the design. It finally flies fairly well for its wing loading and size. It's mostly manageable for a fairly novice pilot. Like after your third plane or so, I'd give it to someone.
Well, and you dialed down the throws. It's very manageable.
Yeah. And I actually gave it to the bunch of kids at NEF. I can't remember their names right now because I'm an idiot.
Alex. But, I'm sorry, Andrew, Andres, and his buddy, and I'm going to forget
his name. They all flew in the last day and just had a ball with it. I let them say, I said, hey, take it. Go fly into the wall. And guess what? They put a full throttle right into the wall. It was awesome.
You know, Peter, I like what you said there, the make it repeatable. There's a big difference between just making a plan, plane that flies, or making something that, you can design versus giving it to someone else and saying, here, you can build it too. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole other level of thought and time and preparation that goes into that step of it. I definitely appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I've kind of grown on me, and especially it gives me mad respect for Josh too, since he's been doing this for a long amount of time. I was like, yeah, foam board, that's cute and all that, but now it's like there's actually quite a bit of work that goes into these things.
I'm still humbled by how quickly you can do it, though, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, Josh. Like, I mean, the vision for flight test planes is for them to be kind of inspiration.
Yeah.
To see other people make their own designs and make their own, does that sound accurate?
Oh, hardly. The biggest thing is we could go to a huge degree. Say the Spitfire, we could get molded canopies and crazy details that you'd fold with 30 folds to get exhaust stacks and stuff. But the thing that warms my heart is we can just stop at a simple level. So whether it's your first plane, your second plane, or whether you've been building for 30 years, other people taking it to the other levels. is really a heartwarming thing to see, because that's where the community can grab hold of it and take it. And it's frankly far beyond my ability. I'm a pretty simple person, and I'd rather have them have simple success and know that 90% of the people can achieve that, and then let the other people inspire others to go further. And one of the best things in the past 6 months is working with Peter regularly, because seeing how he approaches things. I remember we were working on a mini Storch, and it had terrible wing wag issues and tip stall issues. And
just a little highly loaded for that, and the airfoil was a little too thin.
Yep, and he cut a couple slats in there and put them in what, dog ears, I think you called it?
I think they're like NACA droops, I think is what they call them too as well in other places.
Dialed it right out, and that just warmed my heart, because it was simple as two cuts and bending something at a different angle, and suddenly it changed the characteristics. So, don't want to hit 100% home run. I want to get maybe 80% there, and then let other people take it farther, because then they'll take it beyond what 100% RIs would be. And we're blessed with a great community that does that, just like you, Mr. Nick, that then takes it to a whole different airplane.
Yeah, and eventually, this is something that we're kind of mocking up at this point, and something we're going to like to be implementing in the near future. Well, we did a little bit of a site design redesign for flighttest.com, as we tend to do every 6 months or so. I know that right now, like on the homepage, when you click build plans, right now that redirects basically to the articles with the have all of our designs. But what we're mocking up and would like to do here in the next few months is actually have like a build plan center where you can easily access all of the flight test designs. But also something we've kicked around is that if there's if there's some uniformity in how the designs are laid out, and if they're kind of cohesive with how flight test plans are laid out, that eventually we would like to take community designs, people that have already designed things, and make those available in that build center in kind of a separate section.
And Dan Spools is going to be our first person for that. He designed a plane based off of the Bloody Wonder called the Bloody Baron. And it's an awesome, very simple design, keeps the A-fold, B-fold, fold over wing kind of mentality, but it performs fantastic. And he identified things that the Bloody Wonder, where it lacked, rudder control, things like that, and put it in a real fun shape. And I think it's going to be, we're going to have him out, but him and his son are going to come out, we're going to do the episode with them. And I want that to become more regular. So as great people come up with great designs, we have the opportunity to showcase them. Hopefully, Nick, you'll be one of them too.
I would love it. Tell me when.
Perfect. And maybe you can teach me a few things while you're here.
Now, what's next for you, Nick? Do you have any grand visions for a upcoming project?
I kind of have 10 things going at once.
Sure.
And see what sticks, but at least right now I'm close to finishing the first round of my P-38 plans, which was, I made a kind of a poll thread saying, hey, what should I make next? And everyone said they wanted the P-38. So I said, okay, let's do it. So that's in the works. I've designed a clip wing Spitfire. That's plans are done. I just haven't cut any foam yet. And then I'm also working on a DLG right now. So those three should be out in the next handful of months.
Oh, great work, man.
Now, Nick, do you have a laser cutter, or are you cutting all this out by hand? Or,
yeah, I'm cutting all by hand.
Nice. Yeah, and also I want to encourage other people that are listening to this. I mean it's extremely easy to create an article on flightdesk.com, and just want to thank you, Nick, for your attention to detail and for putting those together. I mean, you put together basically what our dream article is. there's. I would say a dozen or so people that are doing that regularly, that are just putting together an amazing article that, we don't have the time or resources to put those out ourselves, and nor the creativity. I mean, you guys are coming up with some amazing things. And so I didn't realize this, Nick, before we get on the call with you, but somebody that just started a year ago, somebody that has just started playing with Dollar Tree Foam Board, is writing these amazing articles, is flying 120 mile an hour planes, and that's just amazing.
Huge.
And just want to encourage people that if that's something you're interested in, or what you think, if you think that you have a cool tip or a cool hack or a cool build, to make an article on flighttest.com, and just because they're greatly appreciated and they're quite widely viewed. So
yeah. And thank you, Nick, for giving back and paying it forward, too. You could take your knowledge and you could sit on that, but the way you do your articles and the way you share it inspires so many people and it inspires us. Are you coming to Flight Test, friend?
Or I Flight am. Fest? Yeah, and I am coming. And thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. And I wouldn't be doing this if I, you know, didn't have you guys as the first level of inspiration. So thanks so much for everything you guys do. And I've just tried to mimic, you know, what you guys have already started. So
that means a lot. That means a lot. Well, I look forward to shaking your hand in person. And guys, I guess that's another really great reason to come to Flight Fest is you're going to get to meet Nerd Nick and all his great contributions. I'm sure you're going to have some really cool things to come up with. I think I heard that you're going to be building there, right?
So I'm still kind of in the figure out stage of what am I going to do. I don't really have the ability to bring my planes with me, so I'm trying to figure out maybe I'll ship some of them. I had a bunch of people offer to you know let me fly theirs, or Dan's actually going to make me one. You mentioned the Bloody Baron. So he said, you know, you're going to come here, you're going to come to Flight Fest, you have to have a combat plane. I'm going to make you one. What color do you want? So he's awesome, and I thank so much for that. So yeah, I'll be doing some building, and then I'm going to try and ship some other ones and see how it goes.
Well, I can pretty much say anything in our arsenal you're welcome to as well.
Awesome.
Well, great.
Mm-hmm. I had one more thing. Where can people find you online, Nick? I mean, obviously you're Nerd Nick on Flight Test forums and on the Flight Test site. Is there anywhere else online that you'd like people to find you?
Right now I don't have like a Facebook page or anything, hopefully in the future maybe, but I do have a website, just nerdnick.com, and really it's just a copy of the content I've already made, with, you know, with the download link. So if you download any of the plans, it kind of redirects you there to get them anyway. But right now, I mean, it's nothing special or anything, but it's going to kind of grow out a little bit as I make more tutorials and everything. And, those obviously will still be articles as well. So, you can definitely find me in anything, on the article section is what I've, you know, that's kind of the main place I put my content first. So that you can find my YouTube channel there. It's Nerdnik SC, which actually stands for StarCraft. I used to play StarCraft, but nice. Anyway, you can find me on YouTube there as well.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, and I would definitely encourage people to check out Nick's site, his articles, and especially his videos. You have some great videos out there, very well done. We appreciate you, and we appreciate everything you do, Nick.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. I really feel honored to be on this call and just meet you guys and talk with you about planes.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll be in touch, too, especially mm-hmm. with the community design aspect.
Yeah, let me know.
Right, awesome, man. Talk to you soon.
Good. See you, man.
Yes, have a good one.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll get you next time.
See you guys.